We're holding on a Chof Amud Beis. We went over we went through a good part of it yesterday based on Rashi's explanation of the three statements of Reb Zeira. In brief, we had Reb Zeira had said three statements. One of them was that you have to have Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh, that you have to have that the night and day both belong to the new moon cycle. Namely, that if the old moon was still visible the night of the 30th, which would be the night of Rosh Chodesh, for the 29-day month, then no good. You can't make it a 29-day month. It has to be 30 days.
That's according to Rashi.
That's Rashi's explanation of Tzorach Shei Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh. Number two, Rav Zera had said that this is why Avod Rav Simloi quoted yesterday, we had from Soda Iber, that there's a difference whether the Moilad was before Chatzos or after Chatzos, because the gist of it is if the Moilad is after Chatzos, after 12 noon, you're not going to be able to see the moon before sunset because, it takes at least 6 hours for it to be visible. And the third statement we had that Rav Zera said in the name of Rav Nachman is that the moon is invisible for a total of 24 hours. But there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. How much of that is the old moon is invisible, and how much is the new moon invisible? In Eretz Yisrael, the new moon is invisible. The old moon is invisible for its last 18 hours before the Moilad, and then the new moon is invisible for this first 6 hours. In Bavel, it's the other way around. So Rashi had said that that's based on the idea because Eretz Yisrael is further west and Bavel is further east. Therefore, you have that difference because the old moon is visible in the eastern sky and the new moon in the western sky. And we discussed yesterday, how does that mean Bavel and Eretz Yisrael aren't that far apart? So we talked about that it may have to do with the time difference between them. That's, for example, if the Moilad is exactly at noon Eretz Yisrael time, which is 12:30 in the afternoon or so Bavel time, they won't be able to see the moon that day because it's only 5.5 hours from then to Shkia, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they'll just barely be able to see it. In Bavel, they won't be able to see it until the next morning when it rises around the same time as the sun. That's why we say it's invisible for 18 hours. And similarly, the other way.
It means it's not invisible, but the night.
It's invisible in the sense that it sets because the moon sets shortly after the sun. And in Bavel, you're going to have, within 6 hours of the Moilad, it's impossible to see the moon because the crescent is too small and because it's too close to the sun.
Actually, the moon sets below the horizon, or just the sun sets?
At the very beginning of the month, the moon rises at the same time as the sun, approximately, and sets at approximately the same time as the sun.
Below the horizon.
Of course, below the horizon. That's for any heavenly body sets below the horizon. At the end of the month. Then gradually, throughout the month, we'll see the relevance of this more on Chafal Chomer Aleph, but gradually, every day of the month, the moon rises and sets about 50 minutes later than the day before. So if at the beginning of the month, let's say, the moon rises at about the same time as the sun, as the sun at 6 in the morning, and sets about 6 in the evening, give or take a few minutes, the next morning it'll rise about 6:50 in the morning, about 50 minutes after sunrise, and set about 6:50, and so forth. Day by day, it'll get more and more away from the sun, and at the same time, the crescent is also growing larger, so it makes it easier and easier to see, until you have, in the middle of the month, the moon is rising when the sun is setting, and setting when the sun is rising. And it's opposite in the sky. Anyway. Yeah. So that's Rashi's explanation of these three statements of Reb Zeira. There's a lot of other different explanations that Rishonim and Achronim have of these statements. There's one, for example, that Rabbi Yitzchak Abalia, who was a colleague and very often argued with the Rif. But he had a job as aside from the fact that he was a great Talmud Chacham, he had a job as the official court astronomer at the court of one of the kings of Spain. It was a very high position. He was able to use it for the good of the Jews of Spain quite a bit. Abalia was his last name. Reb Yitzchak Bera Baruch. They call him in the literature. They call him Reb Yitzchak Bera Baruch Hanasi. In tribute to
astrology.
Yeah, astronomy, astrology, whatever. That was his official job at one of these Spanish courts. Anyway, so he has an explanation of this that this Nolad Kodem Chatzos business. The Tzorach Shei Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh, he says, the word is, it takes a certain amount of time at the end of the day to be able to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. It takes time to interrogate the witnesses and to be able to declare a Chodesh. And it also, as the Gemara is saying, there's a certain amount of time after the Molad when the moon is not visible. So therefore, he explains it to mean the Molad itself has to be before the end of the day, before the end of the 29th. Otherwise, there's no way that even by the end of the 30th, there's just not going to be enough time to be able to see it, and then for Adem to come and be able to and for Basin to testify and for Basin to interrogate them and so forth. And therefore, that's why you have Tzarech Shehei L'Aviyah Min HaChodesh. That's why you have to have that the night of Rosh Chodesh already has to be after the Molad. It has to be significantly enough after the Molad, 6 hours after the Molad, in order that at least there's a possibility of seeing the moon then, because even if they may not see it then, but if the point is, basically, if they don't see it then that's it. You know, there's not going to be any other chance. There's no possibility, for example, that they'll see it late in the day on the 30th and be able to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh that day if the Molad was after Chatzis. That's how he explains it. The Baal HaMor has a completely...
Maybe you have to see the next day if you miss the moon.
If you'll still see. The moon will just be a little larger than it was the night before. That's the thing. If the moon is within 6 hours of the Molad come the evening, you won't see it at all. The following night, it'll be further away from the moon and the sun, and the crescent will be a little larger and will set a little later than the sun does, and therefore you have a better chance of seeing it. And as the nights go on, you have a better and better chance of seeing it.
But No.
We're talking about there's only two possibilities for the length of the month, 29 and 30. So if they didn't say, we'll get to that soon also. So if they couldn't declare it a 29-day month because there weren't any witnesses, then that's it. It has to be 30 days. There's no other choice. The Baal HaMor has a completely different explanation of these three statements, of the Nolad Kodem Chatzos, the Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh. Basically, he says it has to do with the fact that the earth is round, and therefore that there has to be an international date. The gist of it is, the Baal HaMor lived about 900 years ago, and it was known already in his times that Earth is round. Everybody thinks that Columbus is the first one to prove that Earth is round. That's a myth. Galileo was after Columbus. Everybody has this impression that in Columbus's times, everybody thought the Earth was flat, and that's why they thought he'll never get across the ocean. And he proved them wrong. It's a myth. They knew already from ancient times that the Earth is round. The Zohar, by the way, mentions it. Anyway. Anyway, whatever it is, the Baal HaMor says like this. Given that the Earth is round and you go, the time gets earlier as you go further west and later as you get further east, obviously there has to be a date line someplace where you reset the clock by a day, because otherwise you're going to keep on going an hour backwards as you go west. Eventually you're going to overlap. Where is that date line? He says what the Gemara here is saying like this. When the Gemara is talking about us versus them, usually we understand when the Gemara says us means we who live in Bavel, which is where the Talmud Bavli was written, versus them in Eretz Yisrael. The Baal HaMor says us over here means more than just the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, which is a half hour or so east of Eretz Yisrael. It means all the way as far east as China, as the edge of the mainland of Asia. And he says that, in fact, there were times when the Persian Empire extended that far, or at least its influence extended that far. And historically, they found. I mean, there was at one time a respectable Jewish community in a couple of different cities of China. And it seems, based on the evidence, that they're talking Babylonian or Persian Jews who migrated eastward. Same way as many Jews went westward to Europe, there must have been someone who went eastward to China. Anyway, so he says what the Gemara here is saying like this. You want to have that suppose the Molad is noon Yerushalayim time.
Okay.
Then, suppose the Molad is noon Yerushalayim time. That same moment is 6 p.m. at the edge of Asia, which is 90 degrees east of that. You want to have that the Molad should be at such a time. If the Molad of Rosh Hashanah, let's say, is on the 29th of Elul at noon Yerushalayim time, or any later, then it's going to be at 6 p.m. It's going to be at 6 p.m. China time, because China is six hours east of Yerushalayim. What's going to happen then? Because the moon is invisible, as we're saying, in Babel and places eastward, the moon is invisible for as much as 18 hours. It's going to come out then that the moon is not going to at all be visible any time on Rosh Hashanah in China. You don't want that. You want to have Tzarech Shehei Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh. You want to have that at least some part of the night and the day of Rosh Hashanah should be after the Molad in some place in the world. And because of that, therefore, you have this rule of kodem chatzos and acha chatzos, where if the molad is after, any time after chatzos, you're going to have that, it's going to come out, basically, it's going to come out that the moon is not going to be visible in China, which is what we mean by lididan, until after Rosh Hashanah is over. And therefore, we push off Rosh Hashanah a day in order to make it that at least on some part of Rosh Hashanah, the moon will be able to be visible in China. Because we want that in some place in the world, there should be we want that the moon should be visible on Rosh Hashanah itself, or not just in some place. We want it in every place in the world, actually. Right. Yeah. And right. So therefore, now the implication of this, then the Baal Amar says, the implication of this is that must be the furthest east point from Yerushalayim, effectively. Anything further east of that, anything out in the Pacific Ocean or even Japan or whatever, wouldn't be east of Yerushalayim for our purposes. It would be considered west of Yerushalayim. The times there would be later. Which is to say, the dateline runs along that line, 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. From that, there became, in the times of the Baal Amar, that was in
degrees.
That's about what the Baal Amar says.
So that's how
the Baal Amar explains these three statements over here. This that we're saying that the Moilah has to be before Chatzos is to make it possible for the moon to be visible sometime on Rosh Hashanah as far east as China, which is as far east of Yerushalayim as you can get, according to him. That's why you have no lekodim chatzos and la'achah chatzos. That's what he means. Tzarech shehei laila v'yom min achodesh. That has to be that the night and the day are within the cycle of the new moon. And therefore, we're saying this business about the new moon, the new versus the old moon being invisible for 6 or 18 hours. We don't just mean in Eretz Yisrael and Babel. We mean even looking as far east as China. That, for example, if the molad is at chatzos Yerushalayim time, which therefore is 6 p.m. China time, they're not going to be able to see the moon. They're not going to be able to see the new moon until. Until the following day, until the next night, 24 hours later. Yeah. Now, so in the times of the Baal Amar, this probably didn't have a great deal of practical relevance. There weren't that many Jews traveling back and forth between Europe and China. During World War II, this became a big issue when the Talmidim of many of the European yeshivas, the Miri yeshiva, Tzev Chatzmimim, a bunch of other yeshivas, wound up. Well, actually, first China wouldn't have been such an issue. China is on the Asian mainland. There's no question. Even according to the Baal Amar, it's on the Eretz Yisrael, the side of the dateline. The question was, first they were sent to Japan, to Kobe, Japan. The famous consul over there, Chiyuni Sugihara, who provided visas for several for hundred. He was actually in Kovna. He was in Kovna in Lithuania. But he gave many many Jews visas to Japan because he was a consul. I mean, he was representing Japan. So first all of these Talmidim and then people wound up in Japan. Only later did the Japanese government move them to China after Pearl Harbor. So during that first Yom Kippur, when they were in Japan, they had a real question: what side of the dateline are they on the halacha? They sent a question to Eretz Yisrael, to the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael at that time. The Chazanish got involved, Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah got involved, many many rabbanim got involved on all different sides. The Chazanish in particular held very strongly that this explanation of the Baal Amar is the correct one. That's the dateline is a line 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. The only thing he says is, one modification he says is, it doesn't exactly go along a straight line like that, because then you could have two people on opposite sides of the street. For one it's Shabbos and for the other it's Friday, and that wouldn't make sense. But so he says it curves around and includes the entire Asian landmass. So
really,
China would be on one side of it. Japan, which is not part of the same continent, it's an island off the coast, would be at a different date. So he held that, yes, even though... But it's not just a convention. According to the Chazanish's explanation, according to his understanding of the Baal Amar, the line where we say that Shabbos, that one day ends and the next one begins, runs along the coastline of Asia. So any...
Convention.
But it has to be, because given the Baal Amar's statement that anything within 90 degrees of Yerushalayim belongs to the same day as Yerushalayim, given also this logical thing that you can't have two people on opposite sides of the street have different Shabbos, necessarily you have to follow the coastline.
But
so,
geographically, the fact is, where the two people on the side of the street do have different...
No, but that's the thing. According to the Chazanish, not. According
logically not.
That's his explanation of the Baal Amar. Is that not? Right. Right. So he held these Talmidim over there, all these Jews in Kobe, should indeed observe Yom Kippur one day later than they would have thought to. and many other Rabbanim disagreed. There's Rabbi Chil Michel Tukchinsky, one of the other Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael of that time, held that there is a dateline, there has to be, but he held, it's found in many different Sfarim. As Rabbi Chil Michel, a lot of them, there's a whole sefer called Tav HaKarech BaLocha on this topic. The Rebbe also talked about it in several of his letters. Speaking of, right now we're coming up to Shavuos. The Rebbe wrote a number of letters pointing out that if you cross the date line during Sfira, then you count, you have to continue your own personal count, and therefore you end up being one day off of Shavuos relative to where you are. If you're going to Australia, for example, you're going to celebrate one Shavuos one day later than they do there, and vice versa. If you go from the West Coast to Australia. So then you have to go the other way around the earth, sure. But many other Rabbanim disagreed with the Rebbe on that also. There's many other poskim who hold that no, you switch over to the count of where you're going and you celebrate Shavuos with them. You don't keep your personal count. Yeah. But in any case, Rabbi Chiyo Michel had his own opinion. His explanation was the Balamur's opinion amounts to saying that your Shalayim is not really the middle of the world. It's like one quarter of the world is to the east of your Shalayim, and three quarters of the world, 270 degrees, is to the west of it. Rabbi Chiyo Michel argued that no, your Shalayim, we say, is the center of the world, and therefore it should be the center of the world, the halacha. The dateline should be 180 degrees away from your Shalayim, which runs down the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Neither of those is the same as the international dateline that's accepted by convention,
well,
by international convention.
Because
the original dateline is from Greenwich, exactly, which is 30 odd degrees away from Yerushalayim. So you get into a big question, halacha, that many posts can discuss. What about these various places in the Pacific? Hawaii is one of those places, parts of Alaska. What do you do as far as Shabbos on them? In practice, many people, for example, the shluchim in Alaska and Hawaii, take it as a given that they just observe Shabbos on the day that the world around them considers Saturday. They don't. So that's the question. Do you go according to Minhag HaMakom, or do you need something more than that? So in practice, the shluchim in Hawaii, the shluchim in Alaska, if there's any other shluchim in the Pacific Islands, I don't know, follow the convention, whatever the international dateline is, that's what they accept. But there are rabbanim, there are poskim who argue that not so, that argue that in those places you should actually keep effectively 2 days of Shabbos, or rather you should keep one of them with all the rules of Shabbos, and the other one you should just avoid Malachas D'Oraisa, so whatever. It gets into a whole complicated thing, but our Gemara over here, according to the Bala Mara's explanation, is one of the major sources for this whole discussion. Amen. But right now we still have stuff to do in other places. I said Rabbi Chiyo Michel Tukchinsky.
He
argued about that. Okay. It's called Tavatarich Balocha. There's a huge amount of ink that has been spilled on all the different sides of it. Okay, getting back to the Gemara. Amar, we're holding 9 lines from the bottom of Chof Amud Allah, of Chof Amud Beis. Amar, Tzorch Shehei Laila V'Yom Min HaChodesh. You have to have that the night and the day both belong to the new month. Which again, according to Rashi, meant that you have to have that the old moon can't be visible the night of the 30th. It has to be, if there's anything visible, it has to be the new moon. According to the Bala Mor, it means that the night and the day there has to be even as far east as China that the night and the day all belong to Rosh Chodesh. Tosfos brings a couple of other possibilities also, such as that. One of them is similar to Rabbi Yitzchak Baruch Hanasi's explanation that the Molad actually has to be before nightfall. Anyway, Minolon, where do we get this from? I mean, why should we say just because so what? So the night belongs to a different moon cycle. The day belongs to a different one. What's the problem? Rabbi Yochanan Amar me'erev ad erev. Rabbi Yochanan says the pasuk talks about Yom Kippur. It uses the expression that the Yom Tov runs me'erev ad erev, from evening till evening, which implies therefore that the evening has to be part of Yom Kippur, and by the same token, then the evening already has to be part of Rosh Chodesh. Has to be capable of being part of Rosh Chodesh. If the old moon is still visible, then it's not capable of being Rosh Chodesh. Rish Lakish brings from a different pasuk. The pasuk describes that Pesach lasts for 7 days until the 21st of Nisan in the evening. Again, implying that the evening is implying the Yom Tov ends in the evening. So we see again that the night is first and the day is second. Yeah, Yom Ha'Lachachah Laila. The Gemara asked my Benai, what's the practical difference between them, which pasuk we learn from? Abai Alma, there is no difference. Abai says, Mashmo is Dershenik Benayu. The argument between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish is just which pasuk do we learn it from? But they don't agree on any. They don't disagree on anything substantive. Rabba Amma Chatzos Laila Ikebenayu. Rabba says the difference between them would be whether the cutoff point could be Chatzos Laila. Meaning, if we say that it goes from Yom Kippur, when does Yom Kippur begin? At the beginning of the night, so therefore already the beginning of the night by the same token has to belong to Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, if the old moon is visible any time after that, then that day can't be Rosh Chodesh. As opposed to Rosh Lakish, who's using a pasuk from Pesach, well then, when it comes to Pesach, we learned back in Pesachim that the cutoff point for eating the carbon Pesach is midnight. So therefore, you can say, now it's true, the pasuk here is not talking about the day of the carbon Pesach, it's talking about the end of Pesach, Shavish or Pesach, but still, we're saying effectively that up until Chatzos of the night of the 15th, up until Chatzos of the night of the Seder, really is an extension of the 14th. You bring the carbon Pesach on the 14th, you eat it the night of the 15th, up till Chatzos, so all of that is considered one unit of time. Only beginning Chatzos does a new unit of time begin. Well, then applying that to Rosh Chodesh, by the same token, if the old moon is visible any time before Chatzos Laila, no problem, according to Rosh Lakish. You should still be able to declare that day Rosh Chodesh. Same way as with Pesach, that Chatzos is the dividing line between one day and the next, so it should be by Rosh Chodesh.
For analogy.
There is, by the way, going back to this Nola Kodim Chatzos and La'acha Chatzos, there are explanations that say that the Chatzos we're referring to is not Chatzos Ayoim, but Chatzos Alayla, midnight, with the idea being, based on what the Gemara is saying, that it can be up to 18 hours before you're able to see the new moon, and astronomically most of the time that's true, then only if the Molad is before Chatzos Alayla are you going to have any chance of seeing it the following evening before 6 p.m.
Because
18 hours, 12 hours till noon, another 6 hours till 6 p.m. So there are some mafarshim actually, and it seems there is a Yerushalmi that seems to actually say something similar. There's an interesting thing, by the way, with this whole argument between Rashi and the Baal Amor, whose name is Rabbeinu Zrachia. What the correct explanation of this Gemara is, the Rabbi Yaakov Mimarvish, one of the Baal Ha'Firsfas who wrote Shalos Atrubas Minashamayim, one time this is one of the questions that he asked Minashamayim. The famous thing, they would write a question and put him under his pillow, and the next day he'd have an answer in Hashemayim. Rabbi Yaakov Mimarvish, he was one of the Baal HaTosfos, lived about 800 years ago.
Mimarvish?
Yeah, it's the name of a town in France. Anyway, so one of the questions he asked is, on this Gemara, whose explanation is correct, Rashi or Rabbeinu Zerachia's? And he got back a very interesting answer. The answer was kind of a cryptic answer. The answer was, Mazen mihauta limtsei bni, what did you find so quickly, my son? Zorach b'choshech ola yisharim. Light has shown Zorach Maloshen Zerachia in the darkness. In the darkness, there's shown a light LaYisharim for the upright. So what on earth does that mean? So I saw a couple of different explanations. One interesting one is that basically he's being told, what are you in such a hurry to think that it's either Rashi or Rab Zerachia? The Baal Amor's explanation. Look at the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is the same letter as LaYisharim rearranged. Zorach v'choshech, Zerachia is in the dark. What he's saying is what his explanation is in the dark.
Yeah.
You need to look in the Yerushalmi, and then you'll have her.
And what's in the Yerushalmi?
From the Yerushalmi, it seems that the Chatzos we're talking about over here is Chatzos Laila. That it takes 18 hours from the Molad until the moon is visible, and therefore the Molad has to be before Chatzos Laila, not like Rashi and Baal Amor explaining that it means Chatzos Ayoim. But the different explanation that I saw also that what they were hinting to him, Min HaShemayim, is Zorach v'choshech, that Rav Zerachia's explanation is in the darkness, or LaYisharim, whereas Rashi, LaYisharim is in... Yisharim, Yosher is the same letter as Rashi, that Rashi is is light, is the correct explanation. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Getting back to the Gemara. Omer of Zerah... In Shailos Hashem with Min HaShemayim, there's a couple of different commentaries on it. Amr of Zera, Amr of Nachman, Kol Sveika Lakame Shadina. Anytime we have a doubt as far as the date of Yom Tov, we always move ahead. Meaning, when we have a two-day Yom Tov, we have, for example, Pesach as the 15th and 16th of Nisan. Why? Because we have to we do Pesach on the 15th of Nisan on the supposition that Adar was 29 days. We also make it on the 16th in case Adar was 30 days. But we never say that Pesach also, to be on the safe side, has to be on the 14th of Adar, because what if Shvat was 29 days? We never do that.
Shvat was 29.
If Shvat had been 29 days and Adar was also 29 days, then we'd be a day out in the other direction.
Right.
Then you'd have to, then Pesach would be on what we think is the 14th and 15th of Nisan. But we don't do that. We always put it ahead, not behind. Lememra, which is to say, which is to say, when we have a 2-day Yom Tov, Pesach or Sukkot, we make it the 15th and 16th. Abeis Olay Avdinim, but we don't have to celebrate the Yom Tov on the 14th. Chamesha v'shitza, the 15th and 16th. The Gemara asks, why shouldn't you have to celebrate the 14th as well in Bavel? Because what if they made both, for example, Av and Elul chaser? Again, then you would have, if Av and Elul are both chaser, then you have 58 days in those months. The 15th of Tishrei would be 73 days from the beginning of Av. 58 and 15, but you would think that you would normally think we people in Bavel would think that Av is 30 days and Elul, let's say, is 29, so that gives you so far 59, and we'd have to make to be on the safe side, Yom Tov should be on the 14th, so that'll be the 73rd day. The answer is no, you don't have to do that because today Yarche Chaser Kala Islahu. If you have 2 months in a row that are Chaser, then there's that becomes well known. Everybody ends up talking about it, so because it's an unusual thing. So therefore, there's no question by the time Tishrei or Nisan comes, we'll know already if that happened, and we'll know that the months were 29 days, and we'll know to calculate the Yom Tovim appropriately. More on the topic of the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael versus Bavel. Levi ikwal Bavel b'chadsa b'tishrei. Levi one time came to Bavel on the 11th of Tishrei. Now it was the 11th of Tishrei in Eretz Yisrael. But or the other way around, actually, it was the 11th of Tishrei. In Bavel, they thought it was the 11th of Tishrei. In Eretz Yisrael, it was Yom Kippur, because that year they made Elul 30 days. So the B'nai Bavel figured Elul is 29 days, as is usual, and therefore Yom Kippur is the 39th day of Elul. Instead, this year, Yom Kippur is supposed to be the 40th of Elul. Omar, and he says to the people, Bostim tafshila de Bavloyim v'yomer rabba de ma'arava. The Bavloyim have had very delicious food to eat on the day, which is the yomer rabba, the great day, meaning Yom Kippur, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it's Yom Kippur today in Eretz Yisrael, and you guys are eating comfortably, yeah. Amrilei asid, so they said, well, in that case, say actual edus. If you tell us actual Eidos that based in this year declared Elul to be 30 days, then yes, we'll accept it, that right as of now it's Yom Kippur, and we'll stop eating. Yeah. Amalahu, he says, I can't. Lo shamayti mipi based in Mekudosh. I did not actually hear the word Mekudosh from based in. And we're going to learn on Amud Beis that when it comes to Nisan and Tishrei, unlike all the other months, if the moon is visible the night of the 29th, the night after the 29th, then already the shluchim can already leave to go and spread the news already. They don't have to wait until Beis Din actually declares the new month the next day, because they know already. There's a good chance that it'll be, almost certainly it'll be declared the next day. Nisan and Tishrei, you can't do that.
It will be declared on the 29th?
The 30th, meaning it'll be the first of the next month.
If they see the new moon on, what, on the 28th, the night of 28th?
Then you can't see, you're not supposed to be able to see it that early. If they did, it means that basically is messing up the order of the month.
So if Rosh Chodesh falls on what?
A month can never be less than 29 days. Okay. So either Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 30th, which is the first of the next, which is now going to become the first of the next month, or Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 31st, meaning the previous month was 30 days, and the next month, yeah. So here, Levi is saying, if it was any other month, yes, I could assume, based on what I know, that indeed they declared Elul Ma'ober, and yeah, but because it's Tishrei, I can't do that. The question is, Tosfos asks the question, I mean, so in that case, what is he allowing them to eat on Yom Kippur then? I mean, the fact is, he knows it's Yom Kippur, how can he allow them to eat then? And the answer is, Tosfos discusses, also the Ritva discusses, they have slightly different opinions on the subject, that basically, yes, in Bavel, they're empowered, we learned yesterday about Shmuel saying that I could calculate for the entire Gola, in Bavel, in the absence of news from Eretz Yisrael, they're empowered to basically do their own count based on statistics, based on whatever they know. They know that Elul is usually 29 days, they're entitled to operate based on that assumption. If Levi had come before Yom Kippur, then they'd be obligated to follow him. But since he didn't, and he's not actually giving Eidos because he wasn't there to hear them say Mekodesh, then no, they're not obligated to follow him. They don't have to stop eating. That's one explanation. There's a couple of others. There is actually, the Sfas Emes has an interesting explanation, which is that he didn't actually come on on Yom Kippur itself, because anyway, you'd have the issue, if it's Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael, how's he allowed to travel? And so Rashi and Tosfos have to discuss that maybe he was near the city, and he just walked from within the Tchum, whatever, but the Sfas Emes says very simply, he didn't actually come on the day when it should have been Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael, in Babel. He came sometime between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and he's telling me, you should know, a few days ago, you guys were celebrating Yom Kippur, but really it was the wrong day. So they tell him, well, if so, you know, okay, it's too late to do anything about Yom Kippur, but at least say Eidus, and now we'll know what to do as far as Sukkot. We'll know that now we only have to keep one day Sukkot, as opposed to, technically, with all the Yom Tovim, we keep them 2 days in Babel because of the Sfeik of the Yom. Yom Kippur, as the Gemara is going to now talk about, you don't usually, because it would be dangerous to fast 2 days in a row. We're going to talk about that now in the Gemara. Sukkot, though, they would have to keep 2 days. They're saying to Levi, well, if so, then tell us that if they officially declared a long month in Eretz Yisrael, then we only have to keep 1 day Sukkot. And he says, I can't. I didn't hear the word Mekodesh, therefore I can't give you that kind of kula. You still have to observe your 2 day Yom Tov of Sukkot.
So they will be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur.
No, so this is Yom Kippur had already passed.
Right.
Yom Kippur had already passed. It's a moot point.
Right.
Right. But, yeah. Machriz Rabbi Yechonon made an announcement. Kol hechad the matar shlucha nissen v'le matar shlucha tishrei. Any place where the shluchim of nissen are able to reach in time for the Yom Tov, but the shluchim of tishrei are not. But after Tishrei Yomi, they always have to make a 2 day Yom Tov. Gzeira nissen atar tishrei. Because we make a gzeira because you might confuse nissen with tishrei. What are we talking about? When in nissen you have more time to travel before Pesach. Because the only days you can't travel are Shabbos. So you can leave on the morning of Rosh Chodesh, as soon as Beis Din declares Mekodesh, they can right away set out. And the only days you can't travel are the two Shabbosim. You have 12 days to travel before Pesach begins. Tishrei, you have less, because you have 1 or 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you have Shabbosim, and you have Yom Kippur. So you only have 10 or 11 days to work with. So there can be places where in Nissan, the Shluchim would be able to get to them in time to tell them, so they should only have to keep 1 day Yom Tov. But in Tishrei, they would not. This place is, let's say, 11 days distance away from Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, nevertheless, they still have to keep Pesach 2 days, even though they know for a fact when it should be. Because the Gzeira, because if they make Pesach 1 day, then they might confuse and think that they only have to make Sukkot 1 day. And by the way, Meforshim say, actually, once we say that, then the same thing applies to Shavuos.
Sure.
Even though Shavuos, there's no question, by the time Shavuos comes, everybody knows when Pesach was Nikra, and Shavuos is the 50th day from Pesach. Nevertheless, you always have to keep 2 days Shavuos as well.
So that
people don't mix up one Yom Tov with another, right? Which the Magen Avraham mentions based on that, that's actually one and the Rebbe talked about it a lot in Sichas, that therefore it comes out that the second day of Shavuos, we're not keeping because of Sfeik HaDiyam, we're not keeping because of a doubt, we know that we have to keep it because of the Takanas HaChamim. Therefore, in a way, it's stronger than the other 2 days of Yom Tov.
We know now all the days.
We know now all of them. I was saying to be a Dana, but Shavuos, even back then, it was always there. So the Gemara tells a case, Rav Ivar Bar Nagri and Rechir Bar Abba Iklu Lahu Asra. Rav Ivar Bar Nagri and Rechir Bar Abba one time visited a certain place to have a Matar Shluchim Nissen v'le Matar Shluchim Tishrei, where the Nissen Shluchim were able to reach, but the Tishrei ones were not. Again, it's like 11 days from Yerushalayim. The Abdi Chad Yoyma, they made 1 day Pesach, v'le Amri Lahu v'le Midi. And these Chachamim did not object, did not say to them anything. Shomer Rav Yechanan v'Ikbad. So Rav Yechanan heard about this and was upset. We said to them, yeah, didn't I tell you, hey, and I'm your Rebbe, hey, the Matar Shlucha Nissen v'le Matar Shlucha Tishrei, la'evdur Trei Yemi, you have to make 2 days, Zer and Nissen after Tishrei. So how could you ignore that? And that's Takad Halacha. Speaking, going back to Yom Kippur, Rava have a Rogel to have a Yosef B'tanis at Trei Yemi. Rava used to always fast 2 days of Yom Kippur to be on the safe side, just in case Elul comes out to be 30 days. Now, the halacha is you don't have to do that. There are, in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about the question, are you even allowed to, you know, so, I mean, it could be stuck on a safajas, but fine, if a person is able to, so in Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Hilchos Yom Kippur, it has a whole detailed description, if a person chooses to fast 2 days Yom Kippur, what should they do? Because after all, for example, the second day, which there's no takana sachamim to do, because it would be dangerous for most people, you can't get away with, for example, you can't not put on tefillin. As far as the regular, you know, as far as the regular halacha, it's a weekday. You can't not daven weekday davening, so you can't daven Yom Kippur davening. Same idea. How can you say if you have a Kippurim out there when there's no takana to make Yom Kippur that day? So basically, it comes out in Shulchan Aruch. What you have to do is you have to put on tefillin, daven weekday davening. You want to fast, gizun tehei. You want to say any piyutim you want, not during Shemana Esrei, gizun tehei. But that's it.
But you cannot say Shemana Esrei.
You can't say Shemana Esrei Yom Kippur, right? Anyway, so Rava used to fast these 2 days. Zimna Chodesh, Daka Chavase, and one time it actually turned out that, like he did, one year, in fact, there came a report that Elul was 30 days, and in fact, it turned out he had been correct in fasting 2 days all that time. I saw the Aruch HaNer has an interesting vort. In Tainis, which we'll get to in about it, in Tainis, which we'll get to in a few weeks, the Gemara tells us how Rava used to receive a greeting from the Beis in Shamayla every Erev Yom Kippur. So the Aruch HaNer says, so why do they have to keep 2 days Yom Kippur? He says, on the contrary, maybe what happened is because of this, because he was always fasting 2 days Yom Kippur, and one day it even turned out, therefore, effectively, that he had fasted on the correct day, and everybody else in Bavel had fasted on the wrong day. From then on, Hashem did him this favor to give him this greeting every Erev Yom Kippur, so he doesn't have to do this in the future.
But he cannot use it officially to
inform them. No, not to inform anybody else, but at least for himself, he'd know, yeah.
Who says that?
The Aruch HaNer.
Based on Tainus.
On Tainus, we'll get to it in a month, yeah. Another case, Rav Nachman Yosef Vitanissa Kulu Yom Kippur. Rav Nachman one time was fasting the whole Yom Kippur. La'urta, in the evening, before he had time to break his fast, Osa Hu Gavra, a certain person came, Omale, and he tells him, L'mocha Yom Rabba, Ma Rabba, tomorrow is Yom Kippur in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, unlike Levi, who wasn't able to officially say, here this guy is actually giving aiders. So Rav Nachman has no choice now. You can't break. If he had already broken the fast, fine. He would have already broken the fast. But like this already, it's still Yom Kippur afternoon. Now he has to fast another day. Amalei, so Rav Nachman asked him, Heichat, where are you from? Amalei, me Damharia. Name of a city, Damharia. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says it's a very appropriate name. Dam Tehei Acharisa. His, meaning my end, is going to be blood. In other words, basically, you're killing me by forcing me to fast 2 days in a row. Kori Alei, and he said about it in the pasuk, Kalim Hoyu Roid Fenu. Our pursuers were very quick. In other words, it was like, in Mina Shemayim, that this guy got here so fast. You know, if he had delayed a little more, if he had gotten here, you know, an hour or two later, then I could have already broken my fast. Yeah.
That must have been in the open.
Nah. All right. Another din about the calendar. Sholach Rav Huna Ba'oven L'Rava. Kad Chazis, the Mashchot Tkufas Tevis at Shitza B'Nissin. If you see that Tkufas Tevis is lasting up to the 16th of Nissin, and Rashi says that means that Tkufa actually occurs on the 16th of Nisan itself. Meaning, in other words, that Tkufas Nisan, the actual the spring equinox occurs on Tes Zayin Nisan. If that happens, if you see that that's going to happen, Abra Lahayishata, you should declare that you in Ibriyar. Meaning that he's speaking to Rava, who's in Bavel, they're not declaring Ibriyar, but in other words, you in Bavel should know for a fact that such a year is in Ibriyar. V'loitachoshlan, you shouldn't be concerned about it, even though it's actually only a minority opinion in Sanhedrin, it's the opinion of Acherim that says that you look at the equinox, the Chachamim there just say that you look at the condition of the barley and the fruit and whatever, only the Acherim bring up the actual equinox, or Meir, usually Acherim means Meir, yeah. Nevertheless, don't worry about that, that's only a Das Yachid, go ahead, you can take it as a given that year is in Ibriyar. You can calculate when Tkufas Nisan is. You can calculate the position of the sun and figure out. Yeah. And nowadays, actually, I mean, we have the calculation of Shmuel and the calculation of Rav Ada of the Tkufa. Shmuel's calculation we use for determining when we say the Saint Halamata and Birch Chachama. Rav Ada's we use for actually determining when in our fixed calendar is an Ibriyar. And in fact, in Rav Ada's rules, the Tkufa can never be later than the 16th of Nisan. The Tkufa can come on the 16th of Nisan, but no later. Now, according to Rashi,
if it comes later,
then that year is an Ibriyar. Then automatically that year is an Ibriyar, that the Rav Ada's Tkufa is set up in such a way that the Tkufa never occurs later than the 16th of Nisan. Now, according to Rashi, actually, that wouldn't work, because according to Rashi, if it falls on the 16th itself, you already have to declare an Ibriyar. Why? Because if it comes on the 15th, it's not such a big deal. You make Adar 30 days, even though we said before Adar is usually 29 days, you make it 30 days that year. So therefore, the Tkufa has moved back from the 15th to the 14th. But if it's on the 16th, you can't do that. Even if you move it back, it's still on the 15th. And Pesach already, therefore, is in Tkufas Tevis, which doesn't work. So that's why you have to make it an Ibriyar. There are other Rishonim who learn the Gemara to be saying that if the Tkufa comes out on the 16th, that's also okay. It's only a problem if it comes out any later than the 16th. And that exactly agrees with Rav Ada's Tkufa as we use it nowadays. For the fifth calendar.
So if
by calculation the Tkufa, Rav Ada's Tkufa comes out approximately March 26th, 27th, if that would be any later than the 16th of Nisan, then that year is a leap year. So that moves it back. So now Pesach is sometime in late March or early April. Because the pasuk says Shomer Aschodesh Aviv, watch, guard the month of Aviv, meaning Shomer Aviv Shal Tkufa Sheyehei B'Chodesh Nisan. You have to guard the Aviv, the spring of the Tkufa, that it should be in Chodesh Nisan.
Meaning, in other words, that's
how you make an Ibur. So in other words, you have to make sure that Pesach, in other words, begins in the spring. Another din about the calendar. Amalahu Rav Nachman Lahanu Nechutz Yama. Rav Nachman said to people who were traveling on the sea, to sea voyagers, who were traveling around Pesach time, he says, Atun Deloyatisu B'Kviyah D'Yarcha, you guys who don't know, you're far away from civilization, you don't know when Beis Din declared the new month, so when you see that the moon is rounding out the day, then you should burn your chametz. Meaning, in other words, like I was saying before, every day the moon rises and sets a little later than the day before. In the middle of the month, the moon rises when the sun is setting and sets when the sun is rising. So therefore, that's called mashlim. You can see it rise and you can see it set. Yeah, as I was going to say in a second, when you're out in the sea, you have a clear horizon. So when you see... So Rav Nachman is telling them the point in the month when the moon rises in opposition to the sun, when it rises when the sun is setting, it rises in the west, and it sets in the east, it rises in the east when the sun is setting in the west, and it sets in the west when the sun is rising in the east, at that time, that's the 14th day of the month, and that's the day to get rid of your chametz. Well, that's why.
Amos, you need that. You know.
Because there are
the moon, but it's important.
No, because it's not so easy to tell.
It's not so easy to tell
from one day to the next.
True.
Yeah, it's slight. It's only a little bit different. Yeah, but still.
That's right.
Well, that's why. Amos mashlim b'chamesa. Why? When does it actually do that? When does the moon rise when the sun is setting and vice versa? Only on the 15th of the month, because the 15th is really the middle of the month. V'hanan ma'abesim v'arin. We have to get rid of chametz on the 14th. So what's Rav Nachman telling him? The answer is the Dithu, the Maglu, the Hu'ama. That's different. When we say that usually we see the moon rising and setting at a certain time, that's because we don't have an unobstructed horizon. We have mountains, we have buildings and whatever. They who are out on the sea, they have a clear, unobstructed horizon. Therefore, Ma'abes and Ashlam already from the 14th, they can see the moon rising at exactly the same time the sun is setting. Depends on what time of the month, but yeah. Mishnah says, Al Shnei Chadoshim Mechalim Asa Shabbos, there's 2 months for which the Edim can be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din. Al Nisan Val Tishrei, Shebehen Shluchim Yotzim L'Suria. In those months, the Shluchim go out to Suria to inform people when Rosh Chodesh was declared. We'll talk about the Gemara. Didn't they send Shluchim other months as well? So we'll see what that means. Overhen Masakten Asamoides, and those are the months when based on which the Yom Tovim are fixed. So in other words, they're more important. They're more important than the other months.
That's what you said. Peter.
Yeah. Well, so there's actually a few different ways that Rishonim learn the meaning of this. Learn the meaning of this Mishnah. Is it saying because of these things, because they send the Shluchim, therefore Michal Shabbos? Rashi says that's backwards. The Shluchim themselves aren't allowed to travel on Shabbos, like we just said, and we'll learn more in the Gemara. Why should the Edim, because the Shluchim are being sent out, therefore the Edim are able to be Michal Shabbos? That makes no sense. So Rashi says, the Shluchim cannot be Michal Shabbos. The Edim can be Michal Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is going to establish. You can be Michal Shabbos to establish when Rosh Chodesh is, for Beis Din to declare Rosh Chodesh. You cannot be Michal Shabbos to inform everybody. So what are we saying? What's the Mishnah saying?
Shluchim are the people who go,
to inform everybody when Rosh Chodesh was declared.
When Rosh Chodesh is declared.
So Rashi says that in fact, no, we're not saying that it's not a cause and effect thing. We're using this fact that they send out the Shluchim shows the importance of these months. Really, as the Mishnah is going to continue, you should be able to be Michal Shabbos for any month. Just that Nisan and the other months, other than Nisan and Tishrei, are not so critical to the functioning of the calendar. Only Nisan and Tishrei because of the Yom Tovim. But so the Mishnah is just saying, the Mishnah is just trying to stress, you know how important these months are, you should know that also the Shluchim go out. That's not a cause and effect relationship. The Mishnah continues, Shahoya Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, Yotzin and Mechal and Afal Kulon, and the Edim could be Mechal or Shabbos for any, to go out for any of the month. We pay to Kanas HaKorban in order to fix up the Korban, again, you know, so they bring the Korban on the correct day. What do you mean? Al Beis Chadosh and Metula? You're telling me that only Shluchim only go out for 2 months, for Nisan and Tishrei? But the previous Mishnah said that the Shluchim go out for 6 months. We listed over there Adar and Elul and so forth. What happened to all those?
But
it
doesn't mean that they Mechal Shabbos.
No. What was it? Forget about the Edim being Mechal Shabbos. The Mishnah is saying that you can be Mechal Shabbos for 2 months. Shebehen Shluchim Yotzin L'Suria. In those months, the Shluchim go out to Suria. Tiferes Yisrael says not really only specifically Surya. I mean, Surya is just on the way to Baba. It means Chutzlar, yeah, but whatever it is, the point is, what do you mean Shebehen Shulchan Yitzim Surya? There's 4 months when the Shulchan go out also. Amar Abaya Hachikama. What the Mishnah means is like this. Al-Kulon Shulchan Yitzim Be'erim. With all the other months that we mentioned, the Shluchim can go out already the evening before. Like we said before, for example, if the moon was clearly visible on the night after the 29th, the night of the 30th, you know almost certainly that Beis Din is going to be Mekadosh the Chodesh tomorrow. So therefore, you can already leave at that point. Or, you know, another possibility, what if it's the other way around? What if the moon was not visible the 29th? Forget about not visible. Not cloudy. Because you don't know if it's cloudy everywhere. No, Beis Din calculated that the moon is not going to be visible on the 29th. The Moelad was after Chatzos, let's say. So the moon is not going to be visible the night after the 29th. There's no possibility it's going to be a 29-day month. It's going to have to be a 30-day month. Or it could even be one of those cases that we mentioned before where Ma'abed is a Chodesh L'Tzarech, where we talked about yesterday, where you have other needs because of which you need to make an extra long month. Again, you know a month can't be longer than 30 days, so the Shluchim can already leave. The Shluchim can already leave at that point and start telling everybody it's 30 days.
Anyway.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't understand
what you're talking about. You're talking about Ibu Yar. We're talking about an Ibu month. So with all the other months, the Shluchim can do that. But with... I'll listen. But I'll Tishrei ad Shishmuk Beis Din Mekudesh. But with Nissan and Tishrei, they actually have to wait until they hear the word Mekudesh from Beis Din.
For the other months, they can leave.
They can leave before that, as long as they know for sure how long the month is going to be.
How long does it take between the
usually, they would see the moon in the evening, the night of the 30th. The next morning, they would come to Beis Din. Yes. So Rashi points out that in that case you're especially when it comes to Tishrei, then you're losing a lot of time because of that, because then you lose the whole day of Rosh Hashanah that you can't go with. Yeah. And even with Pesach, you're losing a day or so. The Baal Amor, by the way, has a different explanation. The Baal Amor says that actually even with Nisan and Tishrei, if you know for sure it's gonna be a 30-day month, you can leave before Beis Din declares it, because whatever, you know, a month can't be longer than 30 days. This exception that we're saying over here is with Nisan and Tishrei. If there's any reason to suppose that you're not sure if it's going to be 29 or 30, you actually have to wait till they say Mekodesh. The other months, in other words, you can go based on probabilities. Those 2 months, you have to be definitely sure.
Because it's coming to all the holidays.
Right. But the difference is, the Baal Amor is saying once you know it's a 30-day month, even with Nisan and Tishrei, you can leave before you heard the word Mekodesh. Whereas according to Rashi, even in that case, you can't.
Why does the Baal Amor...
Because he's saying the fact is a month can't be longer than 30 days. There's nothing to worry about. Rashi would counter that, yeah, but you still have to actually hear Beis Din say the word Mekodesh. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned similar to Braisa. I'll call him Yotzin Be'erev. With all the other months, you leave, the Shluchim can already leave the evening before, once the moon has been seen. I'll miss Val Tishad Shishmo Beis Din Mekodesh. And with Nisan and Tishrei, you have to wait until you actually hear the word Mekodesh from Beis Din. Tanarabon, I mean, Nayan Shemachal and Alayan at Shabbos. How do we know that with Nisan and Tishrei, you can be Mechal Shabbos? Or actually, maybe not even Nisan and Tishrei. We said that when the Bissan is standing, you can be Mechal for all the months. How do we know that Edom can be Mechal Shabbos? By the way, when we're talking about Chilul Shabbos, there is a big machlokas Rishonim. What kind of Chilul Shabbos are we talking about? We know definitely it means going outside the Tchum. We'll learn about that more in the next paragraph. We're going to talk about it at the end of the perek. It can also include things like riding on an animal, which is also midrabanan. It may even include having the animal carry things for you, which is called mechamer, which we learned in Shabbos. There's a discussion whether it's also midaraisa or midrabanan. But even if it's midaraisa, loisatikom alacha ata uvehemtecha. No, it is midaraisa because uvehemtecha. But it's not as serious a chilul Shabbos as doing the malacha yourself. That's why, for example, we have the case in last parak of Shabbos where you're traveling, your Shabbos is coming in, and you have your wallet with you, you put it on the animal rather than carrying it yourself. Whether you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, whether these Edom are allowed to be mechal Shabbos with malachas that they themselves do on Shabbos, that is a machlokas rishonim, and we'll get to it. Even though it's deraisa, but the question is how far does the dispensation deraisa go? We'll probably talk about that a little bit in connection with the last mission of the parak, which discusses this issue. Now, continue the b'raisa. So how do we know? Turn around, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. How do we know that the Edom are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? It says these are the Moyadim of Hashem, which you should call them in their proper time. The Moyadim of Hashem, so one way of looking at it is the Moyadim we're talking about are Nisan and Tishrei, so therefore this dispensation only applies to Nisan and Tishrei. The other possibility is it means all of the Rosh Chodesh is, because every Rosh Chodesh is also called Moyad. So Rabbi Nachmanal has an explanation. He says that whenever we learned back in Pesachim that whenever the Torah says b'moyadoi about something, it means it can take place even on Shabbos. Here, if the Torah is using the word b'moyadom, it implies that the Edom can even break Shabbos to make Rosh Chodesh be established. Now, then, you might think that just like you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, for Beis Din to be able to declare Rosh Chodesh, maybe also you should be able to be Mechal Shabbos until Rosh Chodesh is established, meaning for the Shluchim who are going and informing everybody when Rosh Chodesh and when the Yom Tovim are, maybe they should also be able to break Shabbos so that everybody is able to celebrate the Yom Tov in the proper time. No, Talmud Lema Asher Tikru Oitzam, the Pasuk only said that you call them, meaning our kriyasa matamachalo, to call, to declare Rosh Chodesh, you can break Shabbos. The iyatamachalo al kiyumon, but you cannot break Shabbos to make them established, to make that people should be able to celebrate Yom Tov on the proper day. You can't break Shabbos for that purpose. You can't travel on Shabbos. Okay, then the people will have to celebrate 2 days Yom Tov.
Declare
Rosh Chodesh, that's what we're saying, the Edom can break Shabbos to come in one way or another, to come to Beis Din. The Mishnah said, that when the Beis Mikdash was standing, the Edom could be Mechal Shabbos for any month, because in order to make sure the Korban is brought on the correct day. Originally, they used to be Mechal Shabbos for all the months. Mishachor, Beis Mikdash, after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Amalah Henra Beichan Mazakai, Mechi Yesh Korban. Is there a Korban anymore that we need to uphold? His skin, at that point, they made a takana, Shalom Yom Mechal and Elan Nisan Val Tishrei Bavad. They should only be Mechal Shabbat for Nisan and for Tishrei.
Because
for the holidays, no, but there's no, right.
Even though there's no Korban.
Right. Mishnah says, Bain.
Now probably not.
No, well, nowadays we have a fixed calendar. There's no Beis Din to come to give testimony. Mishnah says, Bein shenira ba'alil, whether the moon was seen clearly, Bein shaloi nira ba'alil, or whether it was not seen clearly, Mechal and all of us are Shabbos. Either way, you can be Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din. Even if you don't say the moon was seen clearly, obviously everybody saw it. I don't have to break Shabbos and come from outside the tchum. There's probably people in Yerushalayim who saw it. Don't do that. Rabbi Yossi, says, no, nira ba'alil ain't Mechal and all of us Shabbos. If it was seen clearly, you're not Mechal Shabbos for it. Because then there's no need to. Mefoshim explained that Rabbi Yossi agrees that Minatoda you'd be allowed to. He just says, Midrabanon, don't allow them to. The same way as Midrabanon, we cut the dispensation down from Nisan to Tishrei. In this case, when it's clearly visible, there's no Midrabanon. Don't want to give you that dispensation either. Maisa Sha'abri Yossim Aboim Zug, it happened once that over 40 pairs of witnesses came through. There many people had seen the moon, and so one pair after another was passing through town to come to Beis Din. The Ikba Merakiva Balud, and Rabbi Akiva held them back in Lud. Rabbi Akiva held, there's no reason for all of you to go. Some before Hashem say that this was Shabbos, so he didn't want them to break Shabbos because he held like Rabbi Yossi. Others say this may have even been on a weekday, but he just said, you know, there's no reason for all of you to go.
Well, on a weekday.
I'm saying, if it was Shabbos, then it might have been.
But if
it was on a weekday, fine, he might have told them, you don't need to bother. Shalach loy Rav Gamliel, but Rav Gamliel, send him a message, don't do that. If you hold back the many people from coming, then you're gonna make them stumble in the future. What's gonna happen? There's gonna be another month when we absolutely need somebody to those people, and they won't come because they figure we're gonna be held back anyway. Yeah. The Mishnah used this expression ba'alil. So what does that mean? My mashma dahai alil lishna de miglihu. From where do we see that this word alil means clearly, means clearly visible? Amrababo, because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Imres Hashem amores tahoris, the sayings of Hashem are pure sayings, kesef tzoruf ba'alil la'aretz, like refined silver, ba'alil, clearly seen from the earth, mizukuk shivasayim, refined seven sevenfold. We see the word Ba'alil means clearly, like the Torah is so clear and pure that even we living on earth can see that. Can see that clearly. Sarif, it's pure, purified, Ba'alil La'aret, clearly visible from the earth. So we see that Ba'alil means clearly visible. This pasuk Shivasayim, the word Shivasayim, it sounds like it means seven times. But in a lot of places, we douche in the word Shivasayim as if it means multiple sevens fold, like seven times seven, or even seven times seven times seven. So here the Gemara is going to do something similar. When we say that the Torah is Mezukkah Shivasayim, it means that there's actually 49 levels in the Torah. So Rav and Shmuel discuss the following. Chad Omar, one of them says, actually, this next line that we're going to say about the Nun Shari Bina, everybody agrees with. They disagree with the next part that talks about Shlomo. Nun Shari Bina Nivru Ba'olam, there were 50 gates of understanding of the Torah created in the world. And all of them were given to Moshe except for one. And Moshe was given 49 of them. That's the Shiva Sayyim, the refined sevenfold. Shenema, Vatachasir, Vat Me'alakim, as the Pasuk says. Yeah, as the Pasuk says, you made him a little less than Hashem. But Moshe didn't reach the 50th, because having said that, actually, so we're saying that he just got 49. But actually, and there's a number of interesting things about it in the Kisrei HaRizal and Chassidus that talk about the idea that actually, for one thing, the Rebbe points out in a couple of sichas the oddity of the expression. What do you mean, v'kulam nitn l'moshe chaser echad? Why don't you just say, v'mem tes mehem nitn l'moshe? All of them were given to Moshe except for one. What does that mean? It means that actually Moshe did receive all of them. 49 of them he had to work on. The 50th Hashem gave him as a gift. That's what Chaser Echad. He realized that he's lacking the one. He's lacking that ultimate perfection. So he worked on himself as hard as possible to get to the other 49, and Hashem gave him the 50th as a gift. There's also an idea that's brought in some places that he was given the 50th at Matan Torah, but then he lost it by the Chet Egel. And later on, he was given it back. He wasn't responsible, but still, Lech Reid, Hashem says, Reid Megdulavcha, Hashem says, if the Jewish people have sinned, you also, you're their leader, you fall together with them. But then, before he passed away, he was given that 50th one back. And that's why, and in a number of places in the Siddur, it talks about that Moshe passed away on how Nevoi is Nun Boi. There are 50 in him. He was given back that 50th one, after all.
You know what
Hanavoi
is today?
More or less. I don't know if they know the it's in Jordan. It's northeast of the Dead Sea. I don't know if they know the exact mountain.
People go to the Cairo. I don't know the
Dead Sea. Okay, but that iron is her. That's a different place. Yeah. Now, having said that Moshe had these Nun Shari bin Chaser Echad, the Pasuk says about Shlomo, Dikish Kehelas Limsa Divrei Chefetz, Kehelas, which is another name for Shlomo, wanted to find desirable things. What does that mean? The whole passage goes like this: Bikesh Kehelos Limta Divrei Chefetz. Kehelos wanted to find valuable, precious things. Because of Yosha Divrei Emes, but it's written uprightly, words of truth. Now, what does that mean? So this is where the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel comes in. It means Bikesh Kehelos Liyas Kemoshe. Kehelos, meaning Shlomo, wanted to be on the same level as Moshe, to have the same 49 levels of understanding the Torah.
But the Torah says nobody's going to be like
that. Yotza Baskel V'Amrelai. So Baskel came out and told him, you can't. Because of Yosha Divrei Emes, it's written uprightly in words of truth, meaning in the Torah, which is written uprightly and in true. The like come Navi Obi Yisrael Kamosha. There is no Navi ever among the Jewish people like Moshe. So you can't achieve his level. However, V'chad Omer, that's one opinion. The other opinion is B'Neviim like come B'Malachim come. No, among the Neviim there was never any Navi of the caliber of Moshe. But among the kings, yes, Shlomo was on the same caliber as Moshe, as far as these Memtes Shari Bina. Moshe was a king in a certain way. Vayhi Bishur and Melech, some of Moshe was slain, is referring to Moshe.
So,
but
only on the level of a Navi was
there nobody like him, but on the level of a king there was. Ela mani makayim bikash kehelos linta divrei chefetz. So what would this pasuk mean then, that kehelos wanted to find valuable things? It means a different thing. Bikash kehelos lodern jinin shivalev. Kehelos wanted to be able to judge people according to the thoughts of their hearts, without needing edim, without needing warning. In other words, what happens? Normally you need edim that have to warn a person. But the point is like this. Normally, if a person is doing something that's going to make him chayiv misa or malchus or whatever, he has to have been warned beforehand by edim. The rule is, you need hasra in order to know, basically, does the person know what he's doing? Does he understand the full import of what he's doing? There's a machlokes in a few places in Shas, whether a Talmud Chacham needs that. You might argue a Talmud Chacham knows the halacha. The halacha in the end, even a Talmud Chacham needs it. So whatever it is, Shlomo thought to say, you know what, I'm Chacham Mikol Adam, I'm the wisest of all men. I should be able to judge cases like that. There's no Edim, no Hasra, but I should be able to know psychologically to be able to judge the person and figure out, did he really know what he was doing? And therefore he doesn't need Hasra. Came out and told him, you can't. Because of Yosha Divrei Emes, it's written uprightly in words of truth, again, meaning, in other words, what the Torah says goes against what you're saying, which says, Alpi Shnayim Edim, that you have to have two witnesses, and it has to be Alpi, that the mouths of those Edim have to be the ones warning you. So you can't do that. Which is interesting, by the way, because we do find that Mashiach is going to be, we find that Mashiach is going to be able to do that. Mashiach, we learn, is going to be Morach V'doyin. He's going to be able to smell.
But he still won't be allowed.
He'll be able to smell out a person's fear of Hashem and be able to judge on the basis of that. It's in the Asura of Achat Rapesa. So Shlomo thought to be on that level.
Didn't Shlomo know that you need two
Edim? He knew you need two Edim. He thought that rule applies to regular people. He thought that he's on a different level. The Baskel told him that no.
Why do we make a difference?
It's a good question, but perhaps just because Mashiach is on an entirely different level. I mean, Shlomo was Kai Masir Bashlamosa, and in his time, you know, the moon representing the Jewish people was at its fullest, but it's still, you know, it's still a moon, it still waxes and wanes. I mean, in Mashiach's time, speaking of Shivasayim, you know, we're going to be on a completely different level.
It's true.
There is also the idea that the moon will be as powerful as, yeah. The Mishnah said, that once more than 40 pairs of witnesses passed through and Rabbi Akiva stopped them, and Rabbi Gamliel told them, don't do that. Tanya, we learn it right. So, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Chas v'shalom should Rabbi Akiva ikvan. Chas v'shalom, that Rabbi Akiva should have been the one to hold them back.
As we said previously, he did.
Which the Mishnah said he did.
Right.
But Chas v'shalom, that Rabbi Akiva shouldn't have known that. Especially Rabbi Hanano quotes from the Yerushalmi that if a person holds back people from doing a mitzvah, he's chayiv nidui. It's Chayiv Chayram, and Chas v'Shalom to say Rabbi Akiva could have done such a thing. Ela Shazefer Roish Hashem Geder Ikvan. It was Shazefer, Zefer, whatever, the head, the mayor of Geder, the name of the city in Eretz Yisrael, is the one who held them back. V'Shalach Ram Gamliel Bahurigu Migdalasi. So Ram Gamliel sent messengers, and they deposed him from his position. So in other words, it might be that either Rabbi Yehuda is saying Rabbi Akiva wasn't involved at all, it was the Shazefer who was involved, or another possibility is Shazefer was the one who actually held them back, but Rabbi Akiva is blamed in the Mishnah because he could have told Shazefer not to do that, and he didn't. So therefore, Rav Gamliel had to send in the message, but Shazefer was the one who actually did the thing, which is Chayiv Nidui.
No, that he didn't.
But that's what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. That, how could it be that Rabbi Akiva could have made such a mistake? This is Shazefer, so yeah.